Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, joined by our friends from Iowa Total Care this morning for our April 12th, 2023 monthly managed care call. We'll start this off by running through a few quick informational letters that have occurred over the last month, just to make sure everyone has the most recent information. And we always end up running these in the bulletin in the most current week following their release. So you've likely seen these, but just wanting to quick review some of those ILs that came out. First one I want to talk about, IL 2438, which is continuous coverage requirement unwind and Medicaid eligibility annual reviews for NF and SNF residents. And so this is just talking about how continuous coverage ended March 31st, and then they will begin to review the Medicaid resident eligibility kind of on a rolling basis. There won't be everyone all at the same time. It will be broken out over the next basically 12 months. And so just wanting to ensure, and you'll want to make sure that your residents have updated contact information, so that way when the department's reaching out with their reviews, those responsible parties are able to receive those, so that way you don't have any gaps in eventual coverage for those folks. So just wanting to flag that. That's obviously beginning now, or it's begun, and so you'll just want to pay attention to that. The next info letter is IL 2435, and this is HCBS waiver billing code updates. This is probably mostly going to apply to our home health members, and so it's saying that some procedure codes are no longer valid. They were no longer valid as of January 1, 2020. Those are procedure codes 96152 and 96153. And so Medicaid is replacing the invalid codes effective 4/1/23, and you'll need to begin using 96158, 96159, 96164, and 96165 beginning April 1st. And so they had just been, those codes had been overlooked in a previous iteration of the IL. And so just wanting to flag that. That's mostly pertains to like the brain injury waiver, AIDS, HIV, health and disability waiver counseling. And so I'm not, I don't know how frequently those are used by maybe some of our home health members, but there may be some. And so that is, if you do provide some codes, some waiver codes, it's worth a check to make sure that you're using the most current codes. Again, that's info letter 2435. Info letter, we have several, so I guess I have probably five more just to reference quick. I'll try to run through them pretty quick here, but info letter 2434, again, talking about the public health emergency unwind, but this is the out-of-network enhanced provider payment is expiring. And so this is basically saying as of April 30th of this month, MCOs will no longer be required to reimburse out-of-network providers at 100% of their reimbursements. It will return back to, I think it's the 80% out-of-network rate for providers as of May 1st. So wanting to flag that. I assume most of you are probably in network if you're on this call and listening in with our MCO partner, Iowa Total Care, today, but just wanted to make sure that was known. Info letter 2441, this is the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund. This is some changes that we had instituted in 2022, updating the threshold of a major renovation from $1.5 million down to $750,000, so that way more providers would have access to those funds. It also looks at or adds in improved infection control by replacing or enhancing an HVAC system as an eligible project in that program, as well as the calculation for the number of Medicaid days it uses. How did that change? I think it's the calculation just uses number of Medicaid residents in your facility out of your total census rather than number of Medicaid residents out of based off of your licensed capacity. And so It would again allow more providers to access those funds. 2439 is financial and statistical report form update. This is the Medicaid cost report. And so just updates to that form have been made. And so info letter 2439 would have links to the instructions and the new cost report for nursing facilities. IL-2442, this is the optional state assessment and patient-driven payment model for case mix. So this is, again, a nursing facility program, and this is regarding the calculation of case mix for nursing facilities. Providers have needed to use those OSAs for a while to help make sure that we're getting the right assessments completed. And this is basically announcing that, you know, CMS has kind of started to phase some of those out, but they will still be able to support the OSAs for or until October 1, 2025. So we still got a little bit of time here, but it's noticing also that Iowa Medicaid plans to transition from RUGS 3, which is what we're currently using, to a PDPM type system for case mix effective 7/1/24. So about 14, 15 months from now, they'll be transitioning to the new PDPM case mix calculation. And they've been modeling this all along. So, and we've been working with the department on that. And the last letter, and then I will stop talking for a period here. Again, it's provider messaging surrounding the continuous coverage requirement unwind, IL-2446. And it's basically just reiterating that just because this is happening doesn't mean that everyone is coming off of Medicaid on March 31st. There will be rolling waves of reviews done for people to ensure that they continue to meet the criteria to being approved for Medicaid. And so this is just providing some toolkits and a library of resources for you to be able to access as you end up having individuals maybe come up due for their review. If you're a nursing facility member, you can access IMPA to view when people are coming due for their Medicaid eligibility. And so I would recommend looking there because it usually, I think, gives 3 months out for when someone is due for their review. Okay, that was about 10 minutes of me talking about all the updates that have come out over the last month here only. So with that, I'm going to pause and see, Jeannie, you or your team have anything that you'd like to just mention before we go into some of our pre-submitted questions.
Yeah, I've got a couple of things, Brian. That's a tough act to follow, man. You had a lot of info. All right. So thank you again for letting us join your meeting. And I did also want to reiterate that with the public health emergency ending, ITC will return to paying the non-PAR providers at 80% effective May 1st. We will continue to pay those non-PAR providers at 100% through dates of service April 30th, 2023. So I assumed, as you did, Brandon, that most of the folks on this call are participating, but you always get one or two. So I wanted to make sure and let those folks know. And we do have the opportunity for them to join ITC. Just reach out to your provider relations specialist. We'll help you through that process. The ITC provider newsletter just came out not too long ago. There is a lot of information in there, and it is very valuable. It is for all providers. So you can kind of look through and see what is pertains to you, but we definitely would like you to ensure that you sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already. And Ms. Tony Vitrick, right on cue to send that information in for the provider newsletters. Thanks, Tony. And the last update that I have, Brandon, is that we recently did some portal updates. So we were very happy that we do have some updates. I know that sometimes the portal does provide challenges, and we hear you, and we are acting upon those suggestions and updating the portal. So hopefully you have seen those changes. And if you'd like more information, again, please contact your provider relations specialist. That's what I have.
Awesome. Thank you very much. We'll just run into some pre-submitted questions here, and then We'll see if we have any time, and if anyone else has any further questions. I do see a few things in the chat here, but the first one that we got ahead of time was, can you talk about the prepay review of claims notice that went out at the end of March that was to begin on 4/4 of 23? Can you just maybe explain how that's going to flow or how that's going to work for providers?
Michelle, you want me to take that or you want to take that one?
Can you hear me?
I can now.
There we go. Can you hear me?
We
okay.
can.
I was like, dang, it didn't work. Okay. Yes, I can take it. It's not going to impact nursing facility or home health. It's basically a review of high dollar claims for billing errors. And I think our high dollar claims threshold starts at $50,000 per claim. So it shouldn't impact home health or nursing facilities.
That is great news.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yes. I had heard some rumblings from members about that and how that could possibly impact. And so that's great to hear that, you know, there's a threshold that very much likely would not include any members of our group. So I appreciate the feedback there. The next question, how does the MCO manage the residents' care if they do not come into the facility? We have residents who have never met their case manager.
So, Brendan, I would like to introduce a gal from our area here that specializes in your area of this area of expertise, Ms. Katie. So, Katie, are you with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, everyone. My name is Katie Hannigan. And I am one of the managers of long-term services and supports, specifically the manager for your nursing facility case managers. So if you were ever to have you needed a connection, you needed to know who your nursing facility case manager is, you can certainly reach out. I'm going to put my email in the chat. You can certainly email me anytime. But we come out to the facilities to see our members every 6 months. And then new members, we come out within the first 60 days. So you should see us. You should be seeing us as a presence in your building. If you are not, please do not hesitate to reach out. We want to be there for you to answer any questions and available as a resource for you. So we should be there. You should know who we are. Sometimes we see perhaps maybe the case manager talks quite a bit with the social worker, doesn't necessarily make it around to the DON or the administrator. So please let us know if you need to know who that person is.
And Katie, we all Tony put the link in there. So we do have the community-based case manager regions in there. So that map is available to you as well as a resource because you have the option of three different maps there. So just wanted to let you know that as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Yes. And my phone number's on that map and email, and then my email's in the chat.
Perfect. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you both. I guess for some reason I was thinking maybe on the nursing facility side that the case management contractual requirement maybe hadn't been in there for a period of time, but was maybe coming back into play. And so I guess that maybe I could be wrong on that, but I was thinking that could be, or maybe explain why if you've never met your case manager, that could be part of the reason. And I guess correct me if I'm wrong on that, Katie.
We have always done that since Iowa Total Care came to the market. We okay. have we call you every quarter, and then we see the members every 6 months, and then within 60 days, that initial face-to-face. So I don't know exactly what the other MCO does, but we've done that since our go live in 2019.
Awesome. All right, cool. Thank you very much.
You bet.
The next question that we have is, how does the process work when a resident no longer meets nursing facility level of care? What resources does the MCO offer to help the resident transition to the community and succeed?
I can take that one as well, Brandon. This is Katie again. I think we see that more where maybe IME gives that initial level of care approval, and it's maybe a short-term approval. Something we're also seeing more is maybe PASAR will not give a long-term approval. They give a short-term level 2 approval. And so you're needing to look for resources in the community to move those members back to the community. And we definitely can do that. That is the role of your nursing facility case manager, to provide you with some of those resources. So you would want to reach out to that nursing facility case manager. We can direct you towards waiver programs that perhaps your members or residents will qualify for in the community. We can make referrals to our waiver team, to those case managers in the community that would help manage those services for your member. We can make referrals to habilitation, as well as, you know, elderly waiver, ID waiver. The program Money Follows the Person, that is a federal program that provides community opportunities for ID and BI members. We also have a transition coordination fund where members that are moving out and establishing a residence of their own can qualify potentially for up to $1,500 of things they might need to set up a household in the community. We find a lot that our members perhaps have lived in the facility for several years. And now maybe with some of the new, you might see a new pass out requirement. Well, this member has to move to the community, and that's a huge barrier. What are we going to do? So we can help you apply for some of those waiver programs. And then we can help with some of these things. Like, we can get you a mattress and a bed, a dresser, some of those items you might need to set up a small kitchen area. We move a lot of people maybe as well to an assisted living where they're going to need some of those items. And we do have those resources available. So again, don't hesitate to contact that facility case manager, and we can help you with resources. We have an internal housing team or housing SME that if you need maybe referrals to some apartments, low income or HUD-based apartments in your area, we can get together a list of those for you and provide you some of those resources. I know sometimes that's really nice when you're trying to help someone, but they need a certain type of apartment, handicap accessible or low rent, and we can help you with some of that as well. So again, don't hesitate to reach out.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And I, you know, as an association representing the gamut of long-term care or post-acute care, you know, I think it's just important that we support the resident or the person being in the most appropriate level of care for them. And so this kind of helps provide, as there's transitions between levels of care and what kind of resources are available that the MCOs offer, that can help support those people receiving the care that's most appropriate for them. So no, we appreciate the feedback there. The next question we have is, this is a question about Medicaid custodial claims. So this would be a nursing facility where they've been receiving some denials recently for code MX pay maximum allowable has been paid by the primary insurance. Any thoughts or comments on that denial, if that's common or if that's been something that's going around here lately?
Yep, this is Michelle with Iowa Healthcare. There was an issue with our TPL exceptions list, and that can be followed in our configuration log posted on our website. And I just put the link in our chat for our configuration website.
Awesome.
So, yep, that is a known issue, and it is being currently worked on.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. The next one is a question about providers being able to see reconsideration numbers assigned immediately to a claim after hitting the submit button. They're frustrated with the updated website pertaining to reconsiderations. Any thoughts on the reconsideration process?
Yes, absolutely, Brandon. That, as I spoke to the portal previously, this has already been identified. We are aware of the issue, and it is being worked as a priority on an escalated basis with our portal team. Unfortunately, we don't have an ETA at this time because it was fairly new that it was identified and escalated, but be rest assured, it is being worked.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
And then the last one that I had submitted ahead of time here is, recently, several claims are denying a second or third line on the UBO4, as it appears that Iowa Total Care is not picking up the different service date for each line, and then therefore denying as duplicate claims. Any thoughts or comments on that?
Yeah, it's Michelle again. We need to look into this more because I know it is in our workflow for those not to deny. I'm wondering if it's a manual processing error on behalf of someone. If Granger can send a few, you know, all the as many claim examples as they have to their provider relations rep, that would be great. So I can have a good data set to look at for what's going on with those.
Okay. I will make that request. I know that they had one example included in the message, but we can make sure that we're getting a couple more if those are available. Cool.
Right, thank you.
I will run through the chat questions here quick. If there are questions, I see one says we noticed that IMPA changes frequently on who is due for review. That's from Tiffany. And so I don't know if that's necessarily a question for Iowa Total Care, but more just probably information for me. Letting me know that changes frequently. Hopefully, I guess I would assume it's adding information, or if they've maybe updated information. I guess I'm not sure how or why that would be. It sounds like on the last call there may have been some discussions about MSW, social worker for Iowa Total Care. Has there been any updates or follow-ups? I have actually unable to be on the last call. But wanted to check and see if there'd been any follow-up on social work.
Aware of that. I was just seeing if I could pull up my notes from the last call. It's not ringing a bell to me.
Okay.
What that was about.
We can come back to that.
Yeah.
And we are seeing many denials for bed hold days as not coverable service. Michelle, was your response to that question?
Yep. We're looking at it right now because we know nursing facility bed hold claims aren't covered. We had configured our PayClass guide that way so that it would deny those as not covered. But I know, like, in the background configuration, it was not excluding ICF claims. So we're working on that right now.
Okay. I missed who the contact about getting transitions. Okay, Katie, I see you responded to that, so I appreciate that. The social worker question was talking about social worker visits denying in home health after a certain time frame. I want to verify the time frame. Because that would, what was posted didn't make a lot of sense to me. It said 5/11. So, I'll get more info on the social worker piece and see what I can follow up with you, Jeannie, and see if you have any further information or anything like that. I think I missed the last call, so I would have missed that question.
Sure. Yeah. I will include the provider relations specialist so we can get an answer for you.
Okay.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Of course.
All right. Well, seeing no further questions in the chat, I'll thank our team from Iowa Total Care for joining us today and answering our questions and providing us further information. So with that, we will wrap up with Iowa Total Care today and thank them for continuing to join us on our monthly calls. So with that, thank you and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right.
Thank you.